السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers and sisters of ours who listen, our receivers. In many, many places of the Quran Sharif, where some ahkam or some laws of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala are mentioned, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ends the sentence with an ayat of taqwa. Fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at all the ayat and the verses which we normally recite when there is a nikah occasion. Those ayat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose specifically for the occasion of nikah. He used to recite them. Those three verses, we're not going into the details now. But in all three ayat, in all three verses, it is an injunction, a command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we should fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I have mentioned many, many times by now that as Muslims, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The believers, that love for Allah ta'ala is intense. In other words, they will not want to displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala deliberately. Because they are Muslims, they are believers in Allah Ta'ala. They truly believe that He is the Creator. He is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. He is the one who has blessed us with all the faculties that we have, our intelligence, our wealth, our homes, our properties. Everything is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And generally, if a person looks at it, as I discussed in my last program here on Thursday or Monday, that it is Jamal, Kamal or Ihsan, one of the three things, or all three things, that makes a person love someone. Either the person has got beauty, or whatever we are looking at has got beauty. So that creates love in our hearts. There are many, many beautiful things that we see. There are many people who are captivated by the beauty that they see in the pets. The beautiful parrot, the beautiful pigeon, the beautiful eagle, whatever it may be. Look at the creatures of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created beauty in the waters of the ocean, in the jungles, in the forests, in the trees. So whatever has got some kind of beauty, and of course in human beings' faces, so whatever has got some beauty, it attracts a person. Now who is the one that gave beauty to all these things in the world? From where did that beauty come? Take just Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Where did that handsomeness come from? And put all the beauties of the world, where did it come from? Did the mother give it to them? So that Allah who has created such beauty in so many different things, how beautiful He must be. Therefore, as Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, one lady told to him, she said that if only it was permissible for me to open my niqab and show you my face, then I would have done so. But all I want you to know is that I'm a very pretty and a beautiful woman. And my husband, in spite of my beauty, he wants to take another wife. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah just made and he collapsed. After some time, when he gained consciousness, they said that, what made you collapse? What was so serious about it? This is something that is common. Now what was so serious an affair in it, or what was that she said that shocked you so much? Said her words that if only my possessing such kind of beauty, in spite of that, he wants to go and look in another direction at another woman who is not even as pretty as I am. He says, that turned my attention towards Allah Ta'ala. That Allah who has given beauty to the world, and that Allah who has been so kind and full of ihsan upon me, why should I turn my gaze in any other direction? So they take lessons from everything. Nevertheless, so the one is Jamal, the second thing is Kamal. That if you have to look at perfection, then where will you find any perfection other than in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? In whatever you see perfection, human beings, if they are skilled in something and they say we make it perfect, so who is it that gave them that skills? And look at the whole creation of Allah Ta'ala. Look at the sun, the moon, the stars, that whole universe, how it is functioning. There has been no delay in the rising of the sun. So all these things, if you have to look at it, it is the perfection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's creation. Look at the trees. If it is a mango tree, you will find every leaf of the tree is a mango leaf. If it is a popo or a banana tree or anything else, look at the different kinds of packaging that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got. The packaging for the oranges, the packaging for the bananas, the packaging for the coconut, and the packaging for the nuts. Different kinds of packaging. Does not it make us wonder at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's greatness and glory and perfection? So Kamal, you'll find perfect in Allah Ta'ala. The same with Ihsan, if you look at the Ihsan, that if somebody is kind, somebody is generous, somebody is compassionate, merciful to somebody, then that person generally begins to like that person because of that kindness, that Ihsan, that favors that the person has done, or the gifts that the person has given. So whose gifts and Ihsan can be more than that of Allah Ta'ala? So if you have to look at it in the light of those three things, there could be nobody that is to be more beloved than Allah Ta'ala. So if he is most beloved, then how can we be then displeasing him? The same goes with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you have to look at handsomeness and beauty, then Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Ajmalu minka lam tara qattu ayni. Ajmalu minka lam tara qattu ayni. Wa ahsanu minka lam talidin nisa'u. خلقت مبرئا من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. As Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala, the gist of which we have heard this many times. He said, I haven't seen anyone more handsome than you. My eyes has not seen anybody that's more handsome than you. And that is what was the declaration of the people of Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Tayyibah. Whoever saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they did different kinds of comparison. Somebody looked at the full moon and said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he's more handsome. He's got more beauty than the full moon. Somebody looked at the sun and said, the brightness on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's face is more than even that. Different comparisons they gave. So he said, no woman has given birth to anyone that is more handsome and has more beauty than you. Everybody else, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created them as he desired and wished. But in his poetry he says, كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ, as if you sat down and you said, this is how I would like to be created. This is how I want my features to be. Nobody else can say that I decided on my features. Therefore we've got no right to laugh and make mockery or joke of anyone, whether he is white or black, whether he is short or tall, whatever he may be. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's creation and design. So if you look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beauty, if you look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's kamal in 23 years of his life, and that to look at the number of battles and the number of problems that he had to face and the hardships and difficulties in Makkah Mukarramah, and then again he was not tutored by anybody, he didn't attend any university course, he didn't graduate from any college. And look at the inqilab and the revolution that he brought about in the society. A society which was sunk in evils, in vices, in sins, in corruption, where there was nothing but drinking, fornication, adultery, every kind of sin that you can think of. But within a short span of life, and especially after he made hijrat to Madinah Tayyibah, within that 10 years, look at the revolution. Now who can have such kind of perfection? And in every aspect of his life, you will find nothing but beauty. Ashal ajmal akmal. Very easy, very beautiful and perfect. Now we know, I'm not going into those details now. And then if you look at the ihsan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the kind of trials and tests and torture. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is crying and crying and crying in Arafat and other places. He stands whole night, his feet swell, crying for the ummah that was going to come. People like us who were going to come after him. And look at all the difficulties that he's enduring. The 3 years of solid boycott and ostracism, where he and his people, the time come to chew leaves of trees for survival. Now all that ihsan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, do we forget? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he never forgot the ummah. He cried and cried for the ummah. He wanted to see us enter Jannat and enjoy the best of life in this world also. We must not think it was for the akhirat only. Following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ways, we're going to give us the best of life in this world too. But it seems that we have forgotten that. When it comes to the Seerah month, when it comes to the month of Rabiul Awwal, then look at the number of conferences, seminars and programs that are held and radio stations from morning till evening they talk about Seerah, Seerah. And when it comes to time to apply that Seerah, then at that time we are all in some different world. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself mentioned, he says, my Allah, my Rabb, ordered me specifically about 9 things. And according to one friend of mine, I discussed this over 9-10 weeks in the program some years back. Now it just comes to mind that in there, if you have to look at it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb, he ordered me, he gave me specific instructions with regards to 9 things. Allah Ta'ala is the creator, is the sustainer. And who is he giving the hukam to? To Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And there was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a single moment. So he says that my Rabb, he ordered me. I'm not going to the details of that hadith sharif, there's no time for it now. But it just came to mind, so I'll mention one or two things from there. He says, I must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in public and in private. That my public life and my private life, there must be the fulfillment of the ahkam and the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I must not lead a dual life. I must not be munafiq, a hypocrite. That I am projecting something else, and in reality I am someone else. And this is our major weakness today. That for the public, we are different. Our image in public is different. Piety, goodness, politeness, humility, everything for the public. When it comes to our private life, then we'll watch the porn sites. Then we'll watch the filth on the television screen. Because now nobody is watching. It's a private life. And we also say like that, that's my private life. Nobody has got anything to do with it. There's no such thing as private life. Yes, private life means that between the husband and wife, whatever happens in the room, that you don't want to make public. But what I'm talking about, that even in the room between husband and wife, it is the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that have to be fulfilled. There are laws that are governing the relationship between husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members, our business deals. Now all these things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now was he going to have a different kind of life in private? In fact, his private life also was made public, so that the ummah may be able to practice. It's only Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that even his private life, look at all the details that his wives give. Why do they give it? Were they not aware of the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So it was so that the ummah at large may be able to know that how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam behave when he came into the home? And what was his relationship? What did he do after having conjugal relationship with his wives? What were the masail of ghusl and bath? Everything it was to be known to the ummah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb specifically ordered me that I must fear him in both my private life and public life. Now each one of us must look at our private life and public life. There is a dichotomy. If you have to look at it, we are living, we got 2 different compartments. Now that is not Islam. Islam is on sadaqat. But if we go on this discussion again, it's going to take a lot of time. Let's take the next point. And that is what is very important also, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb specifically ordered me, instructed me, that I must say the truth. I'm just giving you the gist and meaning. That I must speak the truth under all conditions. I must say haq under all conditions. Conditions of happiness and conditions of anger. Whatever it may be, I must say that which is haq. In other words, I must not say something just to please the people, even though it may be wrong. Because someone is my friend, on the one side is my father, or my uncle, or my grandfather, or my society, my family, my community. So therefore I must say that which is unjust and not truthful. And I must side them, irrespective of who is wrong. Whether the person is black or white, whether the person is family member or not, whether the person is close or distant, whether the person is rich or poor, I must say that which is haq and which is truth. Now was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to say anything that was wrong? It is for us that we will be confronted with these kind of situations. Now suddenly we find that our whole circle of friends are going in a different direction. Then that alim also, if he's asked a question, now he says, well, you see, the country is going in this direction, the families are going in this direction, the friends are going in direction. So they will humiliate me and they will embarrass me and they will make a fool of me. So therefore I must also support them. Irrespective of what Shariat says, Quran says and Sunnah says is immaterial. I must support them at all costs. Now this is our condition. And if the learned are also going to do the same thing, then how are they going to guide people? We must be prepared to take the criticism if they criticize. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was called a madman, na'uzubillah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which title was not given to him? Leave criticism, stones were thrown at him. And here we are afraid of criticism. Yes, it must be haq, but it must be said in a haq way. Maulana Zafar Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah alayh, it says haq baat, haq tariqe se, haq niyat se agar kahi jaye, to fitna nahi hoga. The person may not accept it, but it's not going to be a fitna. That it must be haq, the truth, but it must be told in a way that will be palatable and acceptable by those who are sensible. And it must be said with the haq niyat. It must not be said just to make a mockery and a joke and fun and laughter. It must be said with compassion, with mercy, with kindness, that this person must accept the haq and truth, provided this person himself is convinced that it is haq and it is from the Quran and Sunnah. So if he says it in an appropriate manner, then it's not going to cause fitna. So it's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Allah ordered me specific. Now this is the where we are today. Unfortunately, I mean everybody knows, how can we find justification for whatever is happening? Now we will say that we are overcooking this football thing. It's not being overcooked, the thing is it may be late, whatever it may be. But don't find justification where there is a tsunami of sins, as I say. Tsunami of sins. Now look at the kind of directions that are being given. Our ladies must go dressed modestly, and they must have scarves that are of Palestinian scarf, or there must be South African scarf, and in another email direction is given that they also, they must display their modesty and good behavior and akhlaq at the stadium, and must take your musalla and leave early. You may miss the namaz. And this is the way to get there, and this is the way to... Now when we are going to go in that direction, that we are directing towards sins, one is the person committing a sin, considering it a sin, regretting it within his heart, expressing his helplessness, weakness or shortcoming before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I am extremely weak and I am getting caught up in this fitna, save me, protect me, and he still gets caught. Then there is hope that this person will be forgiven. But those people who become very, very strong and aggressive in their approach, and then they begin to criticize Sharia, Quran, make a mockery of those people who are saying that, look, there is a combination of sins there. There's drinking, there's gambling, there's fornication, there's adultery, and there is all kinds of haram that you can think of that is there. And then look at all the injustices which I've explained in my previous talks. All these billions of dollars of stadiums on whose money it was built. And will the poor and the needy ever be able to use them? So let us at least say that which is haq and truth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that I have been ordered by my Rabb to say haq and truth under all conditions. conditions of happiness or conditions of sadness, whatever it may be. I must say that which is haq. So we should be making dua. If we can't save ourselves, then at least don't make a mockery and of those people that do not wish to go there. At present, this is a major problem in homes, because families, they are divided on this issue. Families are divided. Now, there's nothing wrong. If the families get divided on these issues, there's nothing wrong. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's invitation towards Islam, many families got divided. But we should not end up with fights and quarrels and arguments and criticism and everything else. Just tell the person, well, you go your way, I go my way. But let us not at least criticize those people. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us from the fitnas. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and my Rabb ordered that under all conditions, conditions of poverty or conditions of prosperity and affluence, I must adopt the moderate path. I must not go on to any extreme. And this is another major weakness of ours. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he's saying, my Rabb ordered me. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him going on to any extremes. But it is for us, with such love and with such compassion and mercy and kindness, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling the ummah, that even if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given affluence and plentiful, then don't go on to extremes and start wasting. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not like any kind of wastage, any kind of extravagance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is his ni'mats, his bounties, use it, eat, drink, provide some luxuries for yourself, it is not haram, if it is of the halal kind. Give to the poor, the needy, the destitute. Enjoy the ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, nobody says it is haram. But to use that wealth, that God-given wealth, look at the extreme poverty that the world is suffering at present and in our country, and look at the number of people that are unemployed and jobless. So now we are not saying take all your wealth and give it away to them, we are not saying that. Sharia also doesn't say that. We are allowed to make use. But then, don't use in those places which will cause the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, and that wealth can be snatched away. We should never be satisfied and then think that it can never ever be taken away. Look at the countries of the world, how poverty suddenly came upon people who had great affluence. But when they started going to the gambling dens and discos and cinemas and theaters and negligence of salat and everything else, then when the azab comes, it comes upon everybody. Then the good and the bad will all be affected. So therefore we have to stop the people from going and spending their monies in such places which are haram. Look at the Mughal emperors. Their great-grandchildren go down to Delhi and ask some people. Great-grandchildren of the Mughal emperors are on the streets begging. I met a person in Delhi in the 60s. And we were talking to him, and he took his lineage right up to the Mughal empress. And he was in a very, very pitiable state. And he said, there are many like that. Look at other countries of the world, suddenly there's bomb blasts and everything else, or there is a coup d'etat, there's a revolution, and everything is gone, and the people become refugees. Look at the large number of refugees around the world. How many of them were multimillionaires at one time? So if the person has got affluence, then to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, may Allah said that I must not go into any extreme, I must adopt moderation. Therefore I always say that even our children, even if we have affluence, then we should not be giving them all the time a golden spoon in their mouths. They must be put through some tests also. Sometimes they must be given simple food to eat. Sometimes they may be made to wear simple shoes and go. And we should not be all the time transporting them in our posh and luxury cars. Sometimes they will be allowed to sit in other cars also, so they don't get a kind of pride and arrogance in their hearts. We must make them get used to both lives. For we don't know what can befall them in the future, and especially girls. Girls who are growing up in homes where there's luxuries and where there's affluence and everything else, and if they are brought up like that, and after they have to get married, and if that husband has to then, for some reason or the other, lose his job or lose his home, how will she be able to then live in those conditions? Then she'll pack up and come away home. So he said, if in that affluence, the person must not go on to extreme. And if he's in poverty, then he must not start complaining and stealing and going and attaching himself at the doors of people and putting up a performance or going on to any kind of extreme. If there's poverty, then he must try. Still, Allah Ta'ala has given him health. Allah Ta'ala has given him some kind of intelligence and skill, then he must make use of it. And if everything fails, then he must go to borrowing from somebody. If that doesn't help, then of course it is permissible for that person to even beg. But then it is the duty of the society and of the people of affluence that they must not allow the people to go to that level. Try and find them some kind of job, employment, and if nothing, then help and assist them before they go on to the extreme. But there are many, many poor people who have just made it a profession, nothing else. They don't want to work. In fact, many say that I make more money begging than if I have to work. So why should I go and work? So that's what we mean by extreme. That neither go on the extreme when it is in poverty, neither go on the extreme when it is affluence. Now what beautiful nasihats Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving. And what he is saying, he is saying, my Rabb ordered me. Now if I have to tell you that I have been ordered to do this or do that, then what does it mean? That all those people who say they follow me and they listen to me, then what must they do? They must go one step further. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was absolutely no question of him doing any kind of wrong or any kind of haram or any kind of sin. But he is saying, my Rabb ordered me this. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life, health and opportunity, inshallah we'll discuss the other points again. Because these things are to be listened to over and over. But all I am saying is that even at this last minute, make a lot of tawbah, istighfar from sins, and don't go in the direction of sins. Don't go in search of sins. Because when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unleashes his azab, then neither the superpowers of the world can do anything, and nor anybody else can do anything. Look at America, it's failing. Billions have been already spent to stop that leak, oil leak. Billions. And all the intelligence and aqal is being used. And how many millions of liters of oil are already in the sea? Look at the ash, it paralyzed the whole country. All the air is paralyzed, finished, nothing. All the latest technology all failed. And so many examples like that we have every day before our eyes. So let us not weaken this iman and belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat and power. And if anybody makes a mockery and teases and laughs and jokes, then just think it's a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If he was laughed at and mocked and teased and criticized, then who are we if they pass a few comments? But don't create fitnas. At such time when you think that those people are going to make criticism of Islam and deen and sharia, Quran and sunnah, then walk away from there. It is better that the iman stay intact than that you win a point and score a point. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah at large the tawfiq of amal, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the entire ummah and of mankind around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.